to prove this abstract Ramsey theorem. Last time it ended with lemma, which that if you have AT, the basic set which or the form AT and T decides every end extension of A, then you can shrink it to, and it rejects A, then you can shrink to reject every end extension. I mean, this is a complete stretching out of the rejection as usual. So the next lemma, and when I wrote this, I might have switched the numbering. So if in my notes here, it is a lemma 8. But probably following the last lecture, where you write is lemma 7. So you can put here plus minus 1. The field of 2. That's, I think that's probably correct. I added the two lemmas, some trivial things at the beginning, which I just remarked. Okay. The fields of S. Ramsey and S. Bare subset of R coincide. Subsets of R coincide. So this is, and I'll go for Ehlentak theorem, right? Except that notice now the Ehlentak theorem is not much of a, doesn't have as much power because a priori you don't know whether the algebras are closed under, the fields are closed under Fuchs operation. We are going to establish this, but what I'm saying that in the topological case, this will be the end of the proof, but this is not yet here. So it's the proof is rather natural. So it's a process to show the reverse. The one-to-one direction is obvious. So suppose X is S-bare set. You need to show that it's Ramsey and let AT be a non-empty basic set. We need to find let N be the depth. We need to find S agreeing with T below N such that N AS is either included or X or AS is included in its complement. And now, remember, the lemma so far have been relative, the decision, rejection, etc., so far have been relative to the fixed set X. So now, this is not anymore, this will not be anymore true, so from now on we change the set X. And therefore, we put this. We are explicit which rejection and which acceptance we mean. So by lemma five, which is probably 3, there is F in NT, which X decides as well as X complement. Every B such that we really need it for n, for a b which n extends a, but I think it can, depth f of b is bigger for n. So now we test the what happens, what s does to a. If s x accepts or x complement accepts a, we are done. Done because that's the conclusion we are looking for. So assume towards contradiction that neither of these. Neither of these faults. So what does it mean, i.e. it means that because there is always decision, it means it rejects i.e. S both x rejects and x complement rejects a. So now we apply this last lemma, which was the lemma just previous to this one, to stretch this rejection. U in NS, which X rejects and F complement rejects every B. And extending A and such that it's compatible to B and compatible with U and such that U B U is non-empty. So now apply that since X is S pair, there is V less or equal U and B and extending A such that BU is non-empty, BV is non-empty, and we have a either BV is subset of X or its complement. Now we use the axiom B phi, I think is the second amalgamation. There is U prime in depth depth this of course is depth U of B. See, notice that from this plus this implies that this depth exists and positive, meaning is non-trivial. This basically tells you that I'm going now to change V to agree with U below this number and be equal to U above. That's basically what it says. So such that dU prime is a subset of dV, and it's non-empty again by lambda. You can add here as a non-empty, but that's a corollary. So if A holds, then U prime accepts D, and therefore contradicting the fact that somebody was rejecting all extensions, that the U. The fact that U was rejecting all end extensions of A. Similarly, the other case is impossible. B is impossible. And that's the end of it. So the next lemma is the fact that these fields are sigma fields. I'm not going to prove it. S Ramsey sets form a sigma field. Again, using the lemma plus the closeness and stuff. And the last lemma I said is the idea of coincide. And they are sigma ideals. The ideals of S meager sets and S Ramsey sets. Coincide, and therefore they are both. Even one of the lemmas should say already by just with no actually much of the property of the whole, just closenessness of S would impose you that the idea of a S Ramsey null set is sigma ideal, and therefore they are both sigma ideals. Only one direction is left is Rajan. Rather immediate query of what you have proved. And now we come to the main point, which actually shows which tests how well you are capturing the Ehlentak style by seeing where this setup is good enough to preserve the Susing operation. So let me just give you a few remarks why this is. The field of F on the sets is closed under Susing operation. So this is, as I pointed out, necessary in this case because we are not in the topological setup. So without this lemma, we're probably not much useful. So we are given. I'm going to index a Susing scheme by a finite subset of n. Considered as a tree ordered by end extensions, so simply for notational purposes, be a given. I assume monotone Susing scheme. We continue that if the sequence and extend, the set is smaller. Let x be the result of the superposition. Let x be the union over all branches to the tree, which is n to the infinity intersection n in n x approximation first n members of A, and I think that I call it AT, non-empty basic set PQ. You need to find a pure extension which decides x. So one proceeds in the usual way, except that now it has to be a little bit careful. Most of the there's a standard way to proceed. Basically going back to the classical reasoning of Lyubomirsky, which requires the existence of various envelopes to arbitrary sets, etc. Similar like a Lebesgue measure, you have an upper envelope. Here you will not be able to get a global envelope. Actually, there are counterexamples. So the global envelopes, all envelopes are impossible, so we do everything locally. So that's the basic idea. But we do proceed as in the classical for a while. So for a finite, you consider these approximations to the set for end extension of F, infinite set which end extends. What does it mean? P of a length of S is equal F intersection N bigger than length of S. XPN. So these are the X's. So X empties. So X empty is X. So you would like to now to build an envelope to these sets. So again, I said that you have to do it locally. Recursion on K define a fusion sequence. So it's some sort of a search for the envelope NK TK such that. So we start as usual. And zero is the depth of A. T0 is T, and K we increase by 1, and here is that search for the envelope for every, which also by the way explain why I prefer this sort of indexing rather than every F sub 0, 0, 1 to the N, and every B. Every approximation to members of R such that PK of P is equal to NK at a given level, there are only finitely many of them. For every this TK plus 1 XF tilde decides B. This we can do by lemmas, which we, and we take the S to be the limit. Hope I did not use letter S, no. So let S be the limit. And look at the, for a given F, for S, for a given finite subset index, said, look at the finite approximations to members of R, which have been accepted. Notice that this is a generally uncountable set, but really countable. You can ignore the ones which are incompatible with S. In that case, the corresponding thing is going to not matter in there. So that's a typically, in general, this is typically uncountable set. But you'll see in a moment that you're only going to use only counting elements. Numbers for this set. So this is the envelope, local envelope actually. So I said this is a really countable set because there may be many of them with empty set which you can ignore, but the ones which are non-empty are all listed. Are all listed in that case. You should have pointed out already at the beginning, even before I stated the theorem, that all metrically basic Klopman sets are all there, I guess. That probably should be rather obvious. So we know that these are closed sets in the metric sense. So each envelope is bounded. Now, for some technical reasons, although again this could be avoided, we look at the restriction. Okay. So there's not much. Now this one is to check. Now is a crucial point to see whether all this business worked, as in did you reach envelope or not. And this is the note. Let us put it in the more obvious way, but we are going to use a color only. F bare subset of the difference between the set and its envelope. This is the place where all this business gets tested. For example, marginality of rejections, etc. You know, you might get I have seen many wrong proofs where they end up in this place. Simply because the rejection is not, or acceptance is not monotone. Is the place. So now when we observe this, then the rest is as in the classical case. So what the classical argument does, it observes that the difference between the X and its envelope, I mean X empty and its envelope, is covered by counter union of these differences. Of the differences of the between the envelopes, so this is basically the Morgan laws. You have to do it by yourself. I put here empty on purpose. This is really X. And also you put, it doesn't matter where you put them. Is covered by union S final sets XF minus the union N bigger than maximum of S plus 1 phi of the X S union N. Observe this and this that this and that the reason why we went to these tildes is because they are rather nicely additive because of this property. So each of these sets, there is squeeze between the set and its envelopes. All of them are Ramsey null, actually meager Ramsey null, so the union of them is Ramsey null, so that finishes the proof. So the set X empty, by the way, I should probably put also here empty because the same thing now. X empty and its envelope. Differ by a S Ramsey null set. So that's inclusion. Sorry, here. Ah, by the way, this is tilde. That's the reason why I said this is the reason why you go, this is false here, right, for the other, but if you, that's exactly the reason why you put the, why you fatten it to make this true. Okay, so that's basically it. There's no more of this general nonsense. So now we go to a specific case. Let me just so definition from now on, a thing which satisfy, which for which the conclusion holds. We are not particularly interested in the axioms. Somebody else might set up different axiom or prove it completely different. It doesn't really matter. What we care is a conclusion. And if that happens, we call it a Ramsey space. So let me just put this as a definition. A Ramsey space is something which satisfies the conclusion. And let us build some. Any structure. Form. It should be, I should probably notice that perhaps these other things here are rather important, even though they, meaning from the point of view, well, rather important from the, if you're interested to prove a strong result. You want to have a better result, then it is going to make a difference. What are your deductions and what are your approximations? In, for example, a typical test, when you relate different Ramsey spaces, the more freedom you get here, the stronger result. Satisfying the conclusion. It's called Ramsey space. Coloretta's, we were working with a prototype. W gamma to infinity, V gamma, variable words, infinite sequence of variable words with a blocking relation, block subsequence relations, and the natural approximations is Ramsey space. It's perhaps one of the most powerful one, if you know how to use it. The reason is simple, because the semigroup of words is a subjectively universal, so it's. But of course, there are applications which there is a category which is not covered by it, which we are going to expose a little bit. But let me just give you some hints why this space is, how this space is related to things, to more familiar things. I went here in some detail. With this remark, so I will let you observe this remark. Okay, so if you were present here, we picked a finite alphabet and we were developing this axiomatics by copying this space. Okay, we ended with this space, but notice the key part was the what I call the Hell-Jewett theorem, some one-dimensional version of it. There's one thing which one should observe about that proof, which is this. It doesn't really matter that this is gamma is finite alphabet. One can change. One can relax the condition that gamma is finite. By fixing the composition, increasing, say, if you like, into finite alphabets. And changing the slight definition of commutative subspaces follows. And changing this operation. I think we had it from S V. There are two subspaces, and SW for what it is. So this will be all block subspaces of block sequences of variable words. So S. I'm going to give you what is this, that is another. So this will be the set for words of the form. Well, okay, let us look W first, because there's no one. It's easy to write. So X, all words of the following form. Okay, finite and increasing, and gamma i's in, remember, that was the gamma here. So the only change you need to put here is this. And you will see the proof change that doesn't change at all. That's similar to that. You have to allow one of them to be here. You add a variable, and you make sure one of them is at least a variable. Meaning one of them is unchanged. Okay. You'll see in a moment there are, by the way, also variations where you can allow infinitely many variables, if you like. And then, but again, you have to preserve some order. This business of order shows up all the time, preservation of order. And that this is necessity of the actual proof, how you produce this subspace, monochromatic subspace. You fix two ultrafilters and you keep building a subspace by intersecting various members of these ultrafilters. So every time you have to intersect finitely many. That's the reason for the... Okay, so that's a little remark. I will not go much into the details of the just showing you. Remember, we were using the parametrized version of the previous Ramsey theoretic result to test the strength. So let us do again the same. You know, for example, let us take our Galvin Prikri. So this will be a parametrized Galvin Prikri. Mm-hmm. But parametrized by what? Partition of n infinity cross r to the n into finitely many pieces. So this is the infinite power of the reals. Into finitely many pieces. Many pieces. Or countable many. And that actually shows in the applications. More countable many pieces which are invariant on the finite changes of the first coordinate. First coordinate. There is A, infinite A, and a sequence Pn of perfect subsets. R such that the product is monochromatic. It's included in one of the pieces. Let's see. You can actually parametrize a little bit more. You can parametrize with a bigger space. You can parametrize here the Millikan space, but I will leave this as exercise. If you are forcing expert, that will probably say something. Selective filters are preserved under any number of side-by-side stack forcing. If you like, forcing terminology. And the other one for the other one for the, when you plug their Millikan space will tell you that Millikan ultrafilter. By the way, these Millikan ultrafilters are rather interesting because they contain into itself. So there will be a ultrafilter which costs. So that will be solution of the equation. They contain several autofilters there. Well, at least think that this number, I'm now linking, I think that, well, I see at least two, maybe there are more. There should be no more than five, but maybe some of them reduce. Okay, so how does one reduce? There's a natural projection from W gamma infinity for some gamma onto this space. As usual, one obtains this result. So what is the natural projection? What is the first for gamma n? So gamma would be the union of gamma n. So that will be the sequence of infinite sequence of zeros, one which is eventually zero. And you have some projection. I have two projections on the various coordinates. So let us look at the first one. Let us call it phi. So again, so this will be the increasing finite, etc. So let us look at the first one, phi of w gamma infinity into the n infinity. It's a rather simple one. If you have a infinite sequence of words, then you do this. And what the other one is, of course, whatever we write, it has to be rather independent. I'm going to look at the r to the n as a 2 to the n to the n. So I put a psi of a w vector, each t vector. So t is now going to be a sequence of members of the counter set. So ti of n is the sigma I, where sigma is the n term of the infinite word. Sigma is the n term of the infinite word. So these are the projections. The claim is that they are the one in the composition of them reduce this to a space, and the corresponding thing gives you perfect sets, etc. Requires a few seconds of thinking. So what is this doing? Why do you have a set and all of its subsets out of a commutative space? As a matter of fact, here you really need for this particular application, if you're putting here Heinemann space, you will have to do the blocking. Here you don't even need to do blocking. Non-trivial blocking. I mean, when I say non-trivial blocking is, by the way, the one which you skip. If you are trivial blocking everything up to n, that's going to work here to give you arbitrary subset of a given set, because this, the perfect set you obtain simply because you have a version, you have your alphabet free, you have a, I think, so perfect set. So let me just make you a claim and then make various claims and then. So suppose, so if C n infinity cross 2 to the n to the n is a given Suslin partition. Suslin coloring. Then we define C star from W gamma infinity to the n in the natural base. So C star or W vector is the C of phi. So now suppose C star is monochromatic on a basic set, set MTX in the subspace general W. So that's where the, as I said, makes a difference what you put as a subspace, how big this is. So typically, the bigger this set is, the more options you have to get a bigger set to the place where you're applying. So this is basic set. So what is this? This is set for, let me just remind you, this is set for W in the W is the block sequence in X of words rather than variable words. You have this notation, the theory without this, by the way, but I put this just to stress that this is the one induced on W. Actually, we did not even consider the other one. And I'm going to point out that we could have. We did not consider any other except this, but we could have considered other. So let A be the sum of cardinalities of X and now requires a bit of independent thinking. Note that the image of under psi contains a product. For some sequence of perfect sets. Actually, they are rather nice. They are still, actually, well, I always think of it as a silver, but actually they are not a silver perfect set. Subsets of meaning that they have a branching in the same place. There's a subset of the counter set. They're almost like a silver perfect set. For those who know what a silver foursome is. Not quite. Okay, so I will let you go and check this. So why is that? Why arbitrary subset? How do you cheat the usual counterexample to the Ramsey in the product? Now remember, there's always this space, product of Elentak. Let me use the classical terminology. So this is not a Ramsey. That's because of the oscillation. There's a two sets which interact. So why there's no interaction here? First of all, why arbitrary subset is achieved? Because you're allowed to glue, to concatenate. Why this doesn't affect peace? Well, there is the definition. It is still there. The peas are not affected because again, you glue everything. You don't particularly care how you glue. You glue everything and you look at the position. So you're not affecting. There's no effect on P. Right bit of thinking is needed to see the business. That you have a product there rather than. By the way, all this is part of an attempt to deduce, which I think started by Carlson, to deduce Harper Loeffler theorem from this Hal Jewett, which so far has actually have failed. This is another failure. You don't quite get the Harper Loeffler, you get a weaker version here. Actually, there is no yet proof which would use the same group of words of Harper-Loeffler theorem. That is probably another interesting problem. Okay, so I'll give you some what you can call mathematical consequences. That was really a forcing consequence. It's a uniformly bounded sequence. Sequence of bare or Lebesgue measurable. Functions R to the N R. Then some subsequence of Fn converges monotonically and uniformly on some product. Perfect substance of R. So there is a. I mentioned this because in the lecture last Wednesday, I think there was this reduction from the. You would really like to talk about continuous function. You don't want to deal with measurable. So you have there's a trick of reducing it. Here is the relatively easy case of reduction because it's an asymmetric case. So there's a reduction. So first the proof will proceed without gross generality. We may assume that Fn are actually continuous. So you make them Borel function on a density delta set. Even the Borel is sufficient, by the way, for the applications of this. And you insert the perfect set inside the density delta set. For a measure zero, you have to use analogous stuff. And it's possible. In the asymmetric case, it's rather easy. And what is the coloring then? Not the natural. So we have actually three colors. and union whatever else, not union the rest. So the C increasing would be the increasing subsequence. So that would be a place of the AX. Fn of x n in A is more tonically or non-decreasing, is better to say, maybe constant. And these the rest. So by the previous result, there is A infinite subset of omega and the sequence of perfect sets. Sequence of perfect subsets of R. Such that the product is monochromatic. So notice that the color cannot be D, because if you fix X and you are willing to shrink sequence, you always be able to find a sequence which is monotonically increasing or decreasing. Because of the function that we are, well, it doesn't really matter. This uniform boundedness will help you to define the limit. You will not get infinities. So we will have either subset of the same or the other one. So that's the case where you want, which is more or less the, except that this uniform you have to work a little bit. Basically what you need to work is to make sure that the limit is continuous, then shrink is necessary. This is simply a hint. Shrink the product. To make the limit continuous. And now you have a uniform convergence. So there is a symmetric version of this result, which is due to Harrington, but you have to, symmetric meaning that you are going to get a single set. So symmetric remark. There is a symmetric result, analog, only in the finite dimension. In the case of functions from R to the D into R for D finite. general, the infinite dimension is false. Consider projection maps. Well, you have to get this uniformly bounded, you have to compose with them, with some homomorphism of the reals and the open interval. But let us ignore that. Or projection maps. There is no P perfect. On which a subsequence of Pn is pointwise convergent. I mention this because we are going to address this sort of problem, pointwise convergence. We are going to show that this is basically the only abstraction for a global pointwise convergence. This is a well-known Rosenthal dichotomy, which we are going to prove next time. I should probably mention it. You will see that this is the only abstraction. That this is essentially only abstraction. In some precise way. Okay. So this is about about the power of this case. I invite you to try to find more application or more inventive relations rather than these obvious things. Okay, so let us now go to construct another Ramsey space. We have just I'm going to sketch for you the space and let you. Actually, there are two spaces based on the analogy of n to the infinity, so infinite power of the integers. You like to change the n. Write this as a new section, Ramsey space of infinite sequences of rationals or reals in two Ramsey spaces. That's rather natural to consider. You know, if you have this, why wouldn't you have this? If you have Ramsey space there, why wouldn't you want to have Ramsey space there or there? Whatever this square bracket means, I put it on purpose square bracket because all infinite sequences do not form a Ramsey space. You can color an infinite sequence the way they oscillate. For example, if they are not you color the sequences, infinite sequence of Q, according to whether they are monotone or they are not monotone, or whether they are constant or they are not constant, or whether they are increasing or decreasing, etc. All these are the colors which shows up in any. Of course, you like to have a large space. You like to have a behavior on S infinity and here T infinity. where S and T are substantial subsets of Q and R respectively, substantial subsets. If you put in infinite, is not much interesting. So what is substantial E? Case by case. So rather, any notion of substantial is going to be Borel, so substantial in the reals is more or less perfect. Right. Unless you want a count, but then in case you shouldn't be working in R to your omega, you should be working in Q. Perfect. As in some sense, you are, if you think about R as a counter, as a counterset, or even irrational, this is more like optimal. You start with one thing and you end up with the same thing, topologically. But what about the Q? That's more subtle. They're more subtle because of the... So we are going to build such a space, and we are going to actually show that this is indeed okay. We have to restrict ourselves to increasing sequences, etc. So soon you will realize that actually they have to be rapidly increasing, etc. But all this is minor. For Q, so what is... Of course, you like to have something. If you're in a topological case, you like to say something dense in itself, subspace, something, or topologically homomorphic to Q. That would be substantial. If you want to have a this unknown, so substantial is perfect. So any other perfect subset. And this turns out to be false. And there is a very interesting phenomena here. It's related to dimension, and we have met this in a different guide already. So, we call it homomorphic, a topological copy. Q does not work. That's what you know. Let me just show you that this is so. Now there are two results. Remember, we are going to go into dimensions, so all our colorings are reasonable, topologically. We are taking the product topology. Here you can even take a discrete on Q. It doesn't make much difference because the algebra is going to be closed under Susin operation, etc. So it doesn't make difference which topology you put. Here, of course, it does. For every continuous, so it's not surprising that here is continuous. On the set of unordered pairs. Yeah. We have I use the Rado's notation into to some finite number of colors. there is a x subset of Q homeomorphic to Q. Such that C is constant on X square. I'm not going to use this Q2 because they're going to mean slightly different in a moment. And this actually reminded, this is almost, and there's the dimension 3, which is the bad news. There is continuous. Such that C takes all colors, all the values. For every X subset of Q whose closure has infinite many non-empty counterbandings of derivatives. There's no point in going to the higher dimensions, DC. There is a, so we'll have to go to, I'll give you some hints about the proof of this, but let me continue for what I promised. So you have to, the next best thing is to take the order isomorphic, and this is the correct thing. There. It turns out that substantial equals order isomorphic copy. Copy of Q works modulo the contexam. Sierpinski partition, the modulo the Sierpinski partition. What that is, you fix ordering of Q in type omega. Define C from Q square into 0, 1 by letting C of the XY 0 if and only if X less than Y is equivalent to the X less than Y. So every order isomorphic copy of the rationals uses both colors, so therefore Q to infinity must be at least a subset must be reduced to at least infinite sequences on which the two orderings agree. And this happens to be basically true. So that's the only restriction. By the way, this has been cleared up in the two-dimensional case. This is the famous result of Galvin. He says that every other partition of Keith's clear into finitely many colors, there is a copy of the rationals which uses at most two colors, so is either constant or it uses exactly two colors, in which case it is isomorphic to this one. Meaning there is some omega ordering, and this phenomena happens to be present in all homogeneous, universal homogeneous structures like a random graph, triangle free universal graph, etc. So this phenomena shows up in many cases. Since you don't have time to tell you what are the sequence approximations, so the theorem would say if you color Suslin Bay this, there is a copy of the rationals so that the x to the omega is monochromatic, similarly for the other. But we'll do this later. I'll give you a few hints why these two theorems are true. By the way, why there is some sort of a contradiction of this theorem with the counterexample here. So this is not continuous. This is not continuous. Okay, so let's see. I said we already met this, although this is a little bit older. This is a bit older, actually, probably much older than the Spinoza's theorems. And they are more or less relative to each other. Spinoza's theorems are about the superperfect spheres of the superperfect sets, or a non-sigma compact subset of the. And this is exactly the same phenomena. And they are actually introducible. Okay, so positive result. Why it is true? Well, where would you go to prove it? Well, you go to Feynman theorem. So we look at the Q as a finite subset look at Q topologically. And now ordering disappears from the consideration. The family. Fin. For some reason, I will need, for a classical reason, I will need an empty set. So. Or finite. Remember, Feynman space is this minus the empty set. And that's actually what I'm going to work, but for I think I will probably need it here to define something. So that's the point of topology, right? So what I would like to do is the following, and then I will tell you why I can do this, why I can clean this to get this. Okay, so I would like to, so given continuous C, I think that is not probably a good idea to mix this for non-empty continuous C from. And now I write this into a K. I associate continuous system, which is actually not well defined, but is essentially well defined. I'll tell you in a second why. In 3. A very continuous use. You like to do this. Okay, so what is this first of all? This is the set for finite set which are blocks. Three blocks. This is the family of all three blocks. That's how we define fin infinity, etc. And fin. And so this would be block. box. So this x, y, x is on top of finite set, y is on top of it, z is on top of it. So you like to do this. And it essentially works. There's the reduction between the two. There's a root, which is x. Remember in the deduction of the spin and Sestier theorem, we had that root. And now there's there's some problems, which of course can turn out to be essential, but I have to argue that they are not. So what are the problems? Well, remember the outcome is going to be outcome of if this is, I guess you can, by the way, this makes sense, this definition makes sense in any case, but why it would give you what you want. So suppose you, suppose you have a basic sequence S, X, the too many X's, so Sn. So it is a block sequence such that this is monochromatic. So now I will argue, of course, this is, by the way, a topological copy of the rational. There is no problem with that. This is indeed a topological copy of the rational. This is more than you need. But why did you, in other words, so far we could have done the same thing for arbitrary partition, including the Sierpinski one or any other. So now we have to use topology. The fact that this is a continuous, so what is the... Well, it's one to see. This is now I can now we need to obtain constants, to obtain a copy, topological copy of Q on which C is monochromatic. On teams, one goes to a subtree. I'm going to give you this subtree of S. Remember, these are all finite unions of these S's. There's a tree relation there, and extension. Right, it's a natural tree relation. I go to a subtree, which is what? Everywhere infinitely branching subtree with a property, and this is the key, with various properties. One of the properties, I use the continuity, and the other is I use the fact that this is a rich space. So let me spell what I mean by that. Subtree of S. So I would call this some sort of a Heinemann subtree. Subtree where branches are disjoint once they split, where the branches are made disjoint from the place they split, the moment they split. Which is fast enough to take care of continuity. The continuity of C. So the picture will tell you everything. So we start with the, again, we have this root. I mean, you can take a root, say the minimal member. You start with something which is a root, say S0. Then you look at these finite sets. So this would be, you can take this as S1, S2, etc. Now you go to a to a subset of this, but now you have to make sure that for this philosophy, I'm building now a tree structure. What I mean, I'm going to take the unions along the branch. I'm going to take the finite union along the branch. This is going to be my copy of Q. So what I say here, I need to have infinite branching in order to achieve that this converges to this. Meaning that I get the density in the cell space. So infinite branching is necessary. But I make sure that so these are going to be among some SNs with a high enough index, but I want them to be disjoint from the family of these SNs, for these successors. It's clear, that's what I mean, that they're disjoint the place where they split. The branches, so if you go along this branch and you go among some other branch, they split here, so these tails are going to be disjoint. That's what I mean. That's rather obvious. Now, fast enough. Well, what the continuity means, for example, if you have this place and C of that and that, is going to be something. But then you go to a sufficiently small open neighborhood to ensure that everything satisfying this finite requirement will give the same value. What does it mean? You're adding some zeros. What does it mean? You have to take this immediate successor high enough. Okay? So now there's no ambiguity. And now we come to this Heyman stuff, gluing. You give me arbitrary two final branches of this tree. They go for a while and then they branch, they oscillate. What I call oscillate, one of them is. The important thing is that they're disjoint from the point of view that they branch. They make a various oscillation, and this is, by the way, the reason why the theorem two is true. You have one more dimension, you could take advantage of this oscillation and get a very complicated mapping. Here you cannot. Why? Because nothing depends on this from this point on. The value is already decided. The value between the C of this and this is decided at that level. So what is this picture? X, Y, Z. This is this picture here. So this is the X, Y, Z. Okay. So next time I'm going to introduce this space or do some local runs the theory. Depending on the channel.